Please get your Bibles back open to John chapter 4 for our message this morning. I want to just bring one verse to your attention, and then I'm going to talk you through the story here, and we will hopefully be a help to you this morning. That's what I've prayed. I've asked God to help me to help you. So let's give God our hearts and our minds over the next few moments as I preach on this thought. He must needs go through Samaria. Verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Let's pray. Father, help me now, Lord. Please, I pray that you would fill me with your power. I pray that you'd give me the concentration and the clarity of mind that I need to preach your word. I pray that you would prosper my words this morning. Make them fruitful. Make them exactly what is needed. I pray that they would fall on good ground, and I pray that your spirit would take the word of God and just do a work in our hearts. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon the preaching of the word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to try to picture the geography of Israel. I'm going to use my hand. I know my hand's not a great example of that, but I'm just going to use my hand. Right here in the center, you have a region called Samaria. Okay? Samaria is right here in the center. Above that, you have the region of, north of that, you have the region of Galilee. And then below that, you have the region of Judea. Judea is where Jerusalem was. Jerusalem was in that region of Judea. Samaria was right here in the middle. And then up here, Galilee, where Nazareth was up there, where Jesus was born, you had the region of Galilee. And so Jesus, in chapter number 3, with his disciples, came to Jerusalem, which would have been this region down here, Judea. And they came there for the Feast of the Passover. While he was there, he met Nicodemus and had a conversation with him in John chapter 3. And they were about ready to leave Judea, leave this area down here, to go back up to Galilee for more ministry up there. And so, I mean, naturally, you would think, well, if Samaria is here, Galilee's up here, Judea's here, naturally, he would walk right through Samaria to go to Galilee. That would be the natural thing. However, that's not what the Jews did. The Jews avoided Samaria at all costs. The Jews would do this. This side of my hand represents the Jordan River. The Jews would, instead of going through Samaria to get to Galilee, they would cross over the Jordan River, be on the east side of the Jordan River, go up this side, and then come back to Galilee this way. So they would go way out of their way just to avoid Samaria. That was a place where the Jews did not go. Now, there's some reason for this. Back in 721 BC, the Syrian army came in and captured the Israelites, the Jewish people. They brought them into captivity. The northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, they conquered them, took them into captive, and just really destroyed much of their land and their property. Well, many years later, they would come back from captivity, but the Assyrians would try to denationalize the Jewish people. They would try to make them, you know, convert them to be Assyrians, if you will. And so they did their very best over time to, you know, make these Jews heathens, make them more like Assyrians. And so over time, you had a group of people that were, for the better explanation, half-breeds, I guess you would call them. they were a mixed race. They were no longer pure Jews, but they were Gentile Jews. They were Jews that were, according to the Jewish people, infected with Gentile blood. That's how they viewed it. They were very I guess you can say, prejudice. And so they despised the Syrians. And so when you had this intermingling of the Assyrians and the Jewish people, that became the group known as the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-breeds, they were mixed race, they had some Jewish ancestry, but they were brought up with the heathen culture and race of the Gentiles, and the Assyrians specifically. So the Samaritans and the Jews were always at odds with one another. The Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. And for that reason, the Jews would not go through Samaria. They would go around that city. They despised it. You know, it was, you know, it's kind of like Washington, D.C. for us. It's, you know, sometimes you hear people refer to Washington, D.C. as the swamp. You don't want to go through Washington, D.C. You surely don't want to drive through there. How many of you have ever driven through Washington, D.C.? The traffic is horrible. Well, it's bad here in Chicago, too, but it's horrible. You don't want to go through Washington, D.C., and so you try to go around it. If you've ever driven down that way, you try to avoid going through the city. You go the take the interstates that go around it. So they avoided Samaria at all costs. Well, it says in verse number 4, verse 3, that he and the disciples left Judea and they were going to Galilee. And so, verse 4 says he must needs go through Samaria. So there was a reason that Jesus had to go through Samaria. And the reason was that there was a woman that was divinely placed and prepared for an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had a divine appointment in Samaria. And so Jesus is taking his disciples through Samaria, into Samaria, to meet a woman in a city called Sychar. He's taking them through the region of Samaria to meet a woman at a well in Sychar. I can imagine the disciples as they're leaving Judea to go to Galilee. They're thinking, okay, we're gonna be crossing over the Jordan River here soon, and we're gonna be traveling up through the east side of the Jordan River to get back to Galilee. And I imagine as they're following Jesus, they're thinking, what's he doing? I mean, did he forget? Oh, you know, we're supposed to be going east across the Jordan River. We can't keep on going straight. I mean, the Mount Gerizim's there, where the Samaritans worship the Lord, and we certainly can't run into the Samaritans. We'll be defiled by them. And I can imagine as Jesus is traveling, they're thinking, where's he taking us? What is he doing? I mean, doesn't he know better? Has he forgotten where he is on the map? I mean, we can't go this way. We can't travel through Samaria. And yet Jesus was taking his disciples to a place because he had a divine appointment that he had to meet. In our lives, Jesus will take us through some Samarias. He will take us through some places that we would choose not to go through, that we would try to avoid at all costs. But nonetheless, the Lord of glory, the sovereign God of the universe, the creator of everything that we see, has some divine appointments that he must meet and that we must go through with him. There are some Samarias in our life. First of all, I think of a geographical Samaria. A geographical Samaria would be a place we would rather not go. I think of Paul in prison. He would rather not go to prison, but the sovereignty of God and the will of God brought him to prison many times. Paul had spent time in a cold, wet, uncomfortable prison. But that was his Samaria. He had to go through that. He must needs go through Samaria. In our lives, there's going to be times where we have to go to some places we'd rather not go. I think one of the places that I try to avoid at all costs is the hospital. I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to go to the ER. I don't want to go through night stays in the hospital. But sometimes in our lives, we go through a Samaria. We go through a difficulty. And the will of God brings us to a place we'd rather not go. Maybe it's some place apart from our loved ones. I can tell you this, I'm just being honest. The Chicagoland area wasn't my first choice to move to. My first choice was Hawaii. then my second choice was Florida. But then that's changed because of all the hurricanes, and now it's Arizona's number two. But no, Chicagoland wasn't my choice. When I was praying, I knew God was moving me. I knew he was finished with me back there in Canaan, New York, and he had another plan for my life. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, I'll go anywhere. I'll go wherever you want me to go. But this wouldn't have been my first choice. No offense on you. I love you folks. I think this is, and there's many benefits and good things about the area, and of course there's many negative things about the area, but this wouldn't have been my first choice. Why would I go from somewhere cold like New York to a place that's just as cold, if not colder, like Chicago? And so, but this was the place where God called me. And I had to leave. I had to leave a mom who's 79 years old, who doesn't have the greatest health. I had to leave a 20-year-old daughter who's living on her own now. But it was a Samaria that God was taking me to. And in your life, sometimes you're going to have to go to some geographical places, geographical spots that, Lord, this is not where I want to be. But it's where God wants you to be. And God has a purpose for it. There are some emotional Samarias. And these are not geographical locations that we'd rather not go to, but these are experiences that we do not want to face. None of us want to be sitting on the front row in a church looking at a casket. But some of us are going to experience that. Some of us have experienced that. And that's an emotional Samaria. Dealing with the loss of a loved one. Dealing with the pain and the hurt. Maybe some other experience that God providentially allows in your life where emotionally it's difficult. You're a wreck. But those are some Samarias that we must needs go through. Geographical Samarias, emotional Samarias, spiritual Samarias. Listen, the devil has some fiery darts that he's going to aim and shoot right at you. And there are some spiritual battles we must face. There will be trials, there will be attacks, there will be difficulties, because all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so those Samarias, those spiritual Samarias, maybe it's a Samaria of disappointment and discouragement, like Jeremiah had to go through. I mean, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, Jeremiah was called to preach a very unpopular message to the nation of Israel. And Jeremiah preached and preached and preached, and it went through one ear and right out through the other. They did not care what he had to say. They did not want to listen to what he had to say. But Jeremiah knew he was doing God's will. But it was discouraging. And in Jeremiah chapter 20, he gets to the point where he's just ready to throw in the towel. He's like, I can't do this anymore. This is nonsense. This is meaningless. This is a waste of my time. There's no reason to keep on doing this. No one's going to listen. No one's going to change. Why keep on preaching this message? And Jeremiah got so discouraged that he was ready to throw in the towel and quit preaching. But the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9, that the word of God was burning in his heart as a fire, and he could not stay. He had to speak his name. He had to stand up and continue to preach the message of the gospel. He had to continue to preach the message of repent, for Jehovah Jireh is not pleased with the life that you're living. You've backslid. You've divorced him spiritually. You've gone after other false gods and have committed spiritual immorality. And Jeremiah had to preach a hard, hard, hard message. That's difficult. I mean, it's human nature. We all want to be light. We all want to be thought of in a positive light. But Jeremiah had a hard message to preach. And so when they rejected his message, it got difficult for him. That was a spiritual Samaria. And he was about ready to quit. But he kept going. There are physical Samarias. Maybe it's an illness that you're struggling with. Maybe it's a problem with a leg or a hip. Maybe it's a problem with the eyes. Maybe it's a problem with cancer. Maybe it's a problem with some autoimmune disease. Maybe it's some other illness that's your Samaria. You didn't want to go to that place. You didn't want to go to that physical condition. But you're there. You're like maybe like Hezekiah, who was sick, nigh unto death. That was his Samaria. But the Lord met his need in that Samaria. I just want to give you a few statements about the Samarias that we have to go through. Number one, you must go through it. You must go through it. It's unavoidable. It has been planned by the sovereign God of the universe. And when he says, okay, we're going through Samaria, hey, we're going. Whether we want to go there or not, I can't go there. I'm going to be defiled by those heathen half-breeds. But when God says we're going, we're going. When we're following the Lord in our lives and we're in his will, sometimes he'll bring us through some Samarias. And when we are with the Lord in his will, those plans, we must go through them. We have no choice. You don't get to pick your Samaria oftentimes. You don't get to pick your illness, your trial, your difficulty, your heartache. These Samarias that we go through have been placed in our lives by the divine hand of providence. And he knows what he's doing, folks. He knows why you need to go through those Samarias. So number one, you must go through it. Number two, you will probably be misunderstood when you go through Samaria. Those disciples did not understand why Jesus was doing this. Why in the world would he take us through the heathen lands of the Samaritans? This is not normal. We don't do this. This is not part of our culture. This is certainly not the popular thing to do as a Jew. But yet Jesus said, we're going through Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria. Why? He had a divine appointment there. And when we go through Samaria, we will be misunderstood. No one can put their finger on exactly why and what your Samarias are there for. Some will even judge you and say, well, they're going through a Samaria because they're not right with God, and they need to get right with God, and if they got right with God, they wouldn't go through that Samaria. Well, how do they know that? Are they God? Do they know why God allows things into our lives? Now, certainly sometimes God does use difficulties to chastise us, but you may have that as you go through your Samaria. You may have someone misunderstand you, or even perhaps judge you as you go through that Samaria. I'm sure the disciples were questioning in their hearts and their minds, why is he doing this? We shouldn't be doing this. God does things that others may not be able to comprehend. I love this statement. There is more to it than that. There's more to it than that. I love that statement because what it says is that there's more beyond what the eye can see. And we don't understand why God is doing the things he's doing in our lives. All we can see the surface, but I tell you this morning, there is a loving Heavenly Father that underneath the surface is working. His hands are at work. He's preparing something, and he works good to them that love him. And his plans, according to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12, are not of evil, but of peace for us. God has a plan. And sometimes those plans mean going through Samaria. When we go through Samaria, others will misunderstand us. But here's the good news. Number three, when you go through your Samaria, Jesus will be with you there. Amen? He is nigh. He's not just near, but he's nigh. And to those of you that have a broken heart, the Lord is nigh. He's right beside you. He's ministering to your heart, your soul. Samarias that we go through, we have to go through them. We can't avoid it. And when we go through them, we'll be misunderstood. We'll question why we're going through it. But glory be to God. No matter how difficult the trial may be, no matter how confused we are, why are we going through this, Lord? Why are we going this way? Lord, why are we going this path? Why am I going this road? We have someone traveling with us. Amen. Listen, I mean this. I'd rather be traveling with Jesus than be traveling alone. Yes. I don't care what the path is. If I'm alone, then I got to rely upon my resources, which are not many. But if I'm with Jesus, it doesn't matter how difficult the path, I know he'll provide. I'd rather travel the difficult way with Jesus than travel the easy way without him. Because without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we are nothing. We need the Lord. God does his best work when we are in our Samarias. Amen. Just think of Moses. He's up against the Red Sea. The Egyptians are fast in pursuit. He's between a rock and a hard place, as we would say. There's no way out. And yet, in his Samaria, God did the miraculous work of parting the Red Sea, providing a way of escape for Moses and the Israelites. I think of Martha and Mary. They're heartbroken. They've just lost their brother. He was sick. They sent Jesus a message. Come on, come quick. Our brother's going to die. He's very, very, very ill. And Jesus just waited a couple days before he made the journey there. And it wasn't a long journey either, so he was walking very slow once he started that journey. My measurements would make it about a 2-mile walk from where he was to Bethany to where they lived. And he got there 4 days after he was dead. I would say Jesus took a sweet old time getting there. And Martha and Mary had to go through a Samaria. They had to go through that pain of losing a lost loved one. And they thought that they were all alone because Jesus wasn't there. But I'm so glad Jesus always shows up. Amen. And when he shows up on time. He's never late. He has a plan and a purpose for everything he does. And when we go through some Samarias in our lives, we can be sure that he is with us. Number four, lives are changed in Samaria. Lives are changed in Samaria. Jesus met a woman at a well, a woman who had struggled with immorality in her life, a woman who had struggled with marriages in her life, a woman who was a half-breed. But all Jesus didn't care about that. Jesus didn't look down upon her because she was a Samaritan. No, the love of Jesus Christ was to talk to this woman. So the disciples went back to get meat. You know what that means? In the Greek, it means that they went to McDonald's. I'm just joking. No, but they went into the city to get meat from the market. And While they were getting meat, Jesus sat down and he spoke with this woman. Very personal. Very down-to-earth way, talked to her about her need. And he used the well. He used the well as his object lesson. And he taught her that, hey, you can drink from this well, but guess what? In a little while, you're going to be thirsty again. But I can give you a drink that if you take a sip of it, you'll never thirst again. Amen. And he ended up changing a life there that day in Samaria. When we go through our Samarias, remember, God has a purpose, God has a plan. And lives are changed in Samaria. They're shaped in Samaria. The sweetest people are the ones who have experienced God's fire of purification in Samaria. And we will never see the changes we need until we go through Samaria. Yes, it will change. We'll meet a person that we can be a help and an influence to, just like Jesus did. But it'll also change us. Jesus was teaching his disciples, hey, don't you look down at the Samaritans. Don't you be biased and prejudiced and racist against the Samaritans. They're people that need me just like you. And Jesus was not only going to help one lady, he was also going to teach his disciples a lesson. When we go through the Samarias in our lives, the purpose that God has is for us to help someone, but also for us to be changed and to be conformed and to think more like the Lord Jesus Christ. In our Samarias, we learn how frail we are. In our Samarias, we learn that he is the potter and we're just the clay. And in Samaria, God will mold us and make us after his will. Lastly, number five, Samaria may be God's way of getting our attention. Sometimes God's got to take us through some Samarias to teach us. To teach us some lessons, to get our attention. How attentive are you to God this morning? Listen, don't make him do something to get your attention. You don't want him to do that. Now, he does it sometimes in a loving, gracious way. Sometimes it's a painful way. But it's for our good. Do not miss what God has for you in Samaria. Henry Ironside said this, long before the creation of the world, it had been settled in the councils of eternity that he was to meet a poor, sinful Samaritan woman that day. He could not forego that appointment. Jesus went to Samaria, and he must needs go through Samaria because there was a divine appointment for him. And you have a Samaria that you have to go through. It's unavoidable. And others won't understand how you feel, what you're going through as you go through it. But there's someone that's with you. The Lord is with you as you go through that Samaria. And he's going to teach you. And he's going to use you. When we go through our Samarias, there's three responses that we can give. There's three reactions that we have when we go through those Samarias. Number one, we can choose to rebel. We can choose to rebel. Jonah did. God said, I'm taking you, Jonah, to Nineveh. I want you to go through to this Samaria, Nineveh. Jonah said, I'm not doing that, Lord. Jonah tried to run from God. And you know the story. He got on a boat, and God had to get his attention by bringing a storm, causing him to be thrown overboard, swallowed by a whale, and then become vomit chunks from that whale when that whale regurgitated him. Jonah had to go through all that. Why? Because he rebelled. Instead of going to the Samaria, the place that God wanted him to go through, he rebelled. That was his reaction. He turned from God and he intentionally disobeyed. Now, God would give him another chance, and Jonah would go to Nineveh. And great revival took place. God has Samaria's planned for us, and they're not just to make our lives difficult or for a purpose. He's doing something. He's making us more like Christ. He's conforming us. He's using us. Whether we can see it or not, there's a purpose. There's a divine appointment for every Samaria we go through. So we can rebel, or we can, secondly, we can resist. We can question God. We can doubt. And we can ignore the things of God. Moses resisted. After God called him at the fiery burning bush, Moses said, "No, Lord, I can't do it. I stumble too much. I'm not a good speaker." And he made an excuse. I can't talk good. I won't be able to convince them that you're using me to deliver them. Moses resisted at first. Then he said, "Well, they won't believe me, God." But God had a plan for Moses. And eventually Moses agreed with God and said, "Okay, Lord, I'll trust you." We can rebel, we can resist, or third, we can submit. Amen. We can submit like Paul did. Paul had a Samaria. He called it a thorn in the flesh. I personally think it was an issue with his eyes. Galatians tells us that he wrote that letter in large letters. He makes a statement that to a group of people that they would have gladly given their eyes for him. I believe he had an eye problem. I won't argue about that, but that's what I personally believe. That helps me because I've been struggling with an eye problem in my left eye. For some reason, this eye sees fine reading, but this eye doesn't. So I have at home, I have a pair of readers. I took the lens out of this eye and just have the readers on one side because my eyesight is off for some reason since the injury. But Paul had a difficulty that he asked, whether it be an eye problem or whether it been something else. He said, "God, take it away. Take it away, Lord, please take it away." Three times he begged and pleaded for God to take it away, but God didn't take it away. Paul had to submit. Paul had to submit to the grace of God. He said, "Lord, okay, I wish I could get rid of this. I wish I didn't have to deal with this Samaria in my life. I wish I didn't have to deal with this difficulty in my life. But you're God, I'm man, I trust you."
Amen.
And that's what we have to do in our lives, folks. When we are faced with geographical Samarias, emotional Samarias, physical Samarias or spiritual Samarias, trust and submit to the maker of the mankind. The easiest and most peaceful life is the submissive life. I can tell you this morning, the most miserable person in the world is a Christian who is not in the will of God. A lost person, yes, is miserable in some ways, but they don't know anything different. That's all that they know is being lost. But a Christian who has been saved by the grace of God, who's been born again, who has the Spirit of God living in them, they are the most miserable Christians when they're trying to straddle the fence. I wouldn't try to straddle a pointed fence. That would hurt. But that's what a Christian out of the will of God is trying to do. He's trying to have one foot in the world, one foot in Christianity, and you can't do it. It'll make you miserable. The best thing to do is to submit and surrender to the will of God. God has, for you and for me, some Samarias that we must needs go through. And as you go through that Samaria, you have the promise, you have the assurance that he's leading you. He's following you. He's leading you. You're following him through that Samaria. And he will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will move mountains if he has to. But he'll lead you through that Samaria. And as you go through that Samaria, you'll have a divine appointment where you can help another soul. And you will be changed as you learn to trust the Savior and walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because he was going to meet a woman there, give her the gospel, give her the truth of how to be saved. This morning, if you're here and you are not sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, God wants you to know that you would. 1 John 5:13 says, "For these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." He wants you to know that you're saved. And if you're not sure this morning, then maybe today's your divine appointment to meet Jesus, to take a drink of that water. When you take a drink of that water, it goes down and then it just starts multiplying and becomes a well that never goes away. Amen. He's referring to the Holy Spirit in that text. But you'll take a drink of Jesus and you'll be satisfied. The drugs, the alcohol, the many illicit relationships, the things of the world, the toys and trinkets of the world, none of those things can satisfy the soul. They only offer temporary happiness. But they can't satisfy the soul. Only Jesus can do that. And if you're not saved this morning, if you're not sure that you, if you die today, you'd go to heaven, then I want to encourage you. Take a drink of the water that the Lord wants to give you this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his obedience to the Father's will. And the Father's will was to go through Samaria to meet this lady. And providence brought him to a well at Sychar so that this lady could come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And then go back and tell others that she met a man that knew everything. What a great witness she became. Lord, you have Samaria's for us, and I pray this morning we would listen and heed your call and your Spirit's still small voice in our soul, in our conscience, to just trust you. You have a reason. You have a purpose as we go through those Samaria's. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder this morning, is there anyone here that would say, you know, Pastor, I'm not sure that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I want to be honest about it, Pastor. And if I were to die today, I'm not for sure that I would go to heaven. Is there anyone here like that this morning? You could raise your hand. Let me know. I want to pray for you. You're not sure that if you died today, you'd wake up in heaven. Is that you? Let me see that hand. Father, we thank you so much for your gospel, for your word, for the way it does change us. I pray as we dwell on this morning that you'd use it to make us more like Jesus. Bless our invitation now. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 562, please grab your song books there. 562. Just as I am without one plea, I'd like to ask you to stand as we start our invitation. Sing out on that first verse with me, just as I am, without one plea. You may come use the altar if God has spoken to your heart and you'd like to spend some time at the altar in prayer with him. Come at any time during the song to use the altar. 562.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come, verse 2. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark plot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Verse number 3, think about the words as you sing it.
Just as I am, though tossed about.
Don't you feel like that sometimes? Many conflicts, many a doubt.
Fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Let's go to verse 5.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. Thank you for coming to church today. And when you come to the Lord, he will in no wise cast you out. And he's with you. He's with you as you go throughout your week this week. Remember that he's there with you. Brother Spence, could you close in prayer for us?